Welcome to the Jesus Sisters Podcast. It's not a coincidence you're here.
We thank you for joining us on this journey to seek a close and personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome back to Jesus Sisters. We are so excited that you're here. We have such a great message today that we're excited to share with you, and it's all about obedience. And yeah, I mean, being obedient can be challenging sometimes, because sometimes that means we're doing things that we don't really want to do, but we're trying to be obedient and live in God's will. So we're just hoping that today you're going to have a message and God will have a word for you. We can share some amazing scripture as always. My name's Laurel and I got my Jesus sister Allie on the line. Where are you at, girl?
Tampa, Florida. Whoop, whoop.
What do they call Tampa? Obviously, you know, I know how to spell it, but like, do they refer to it like, just Tampa, or like, do they have initials that
Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay, like, are they TB or something like that? I don't know.
I guess if they are, I'm not in on that lingo yet. I guess I haven't been here long enough.
So Allie's in the TB, the Tampa. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my gosh. Well, I am just so glad that we're here together. It just never gets old spending time with you, my Jesus sister. But before we get too far into this episode, let's go ahead and open in prayer, because I want to be using the Lord's words and not my own today. So if you wouldn't mind joining me and Allie and I in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that you give us this opportunity to share your message with people all around the world. Lord, we just ask that our voices magnify your word. We want everything that we say and do to be of you, Lord. We just want this podcast to be completely dedicated to you and sharing your message. We ask that this brings people closer to you, Lord, or brings in those that don't know you at all. And you just empty us of ourselves and fill us with the Holy Spirit. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ooh, amen. Great way to get us started.
Okay, well, let's go. Let's talk about being obedient, because, you know, sometimes it's not really that easy. When the Lord's like, I have a word for you, and you're like, you do? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can hear you. Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, sometimes it's really hard. But what I will tell you, now that I don't have my baby Jesus legs on anymore, I mean, they're getting stronger, you know, I haven't 100% hit my stride, but I'm getting closer. The more I'm obedient and the more I see my life playing out in God's will, the more I'm willing to be like, okay, I'm all in. You know what I mean? Like, and I hate to say that the more I'm willing to, I always try to be obedient. And I do my best to be obedient. If I'm not, sometimes it's not to my own. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to pretend like it's not to my own knowledge. But basically what I'm trying to say, let me bottom line you here. What I'm trying to say is that the more we are obedient and the more we trust in the Lord and the more we try to live in his will, the easier it is, because we see that when everything unfolds and we're living in his will, it's always better than we could have imagined it for ourselves. And so I'm in a season of being obedient. So this really spoke to me. So hopefully this will speak to you as well.
Well, and obedience really is just so important. And as you were kind of saying, obedience is a choice. God doesn't force us to obey. We have that free will, but it is to our benefit to be obedient. So,
yep. I love it. It's true. It's in our best interest. So I'm going to start us off with a psalm. All my scripture today are from the ESV version. And this is Psalm 37, verses 3-7. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And I really just love the trust in the Lord and do good. And then, of course, you know, he will give you the desires of your heart, right? And I don't know that it in my mind, when we read, he will give you the desires of your heart, it doesn't always mean to me like, if I wish for something, he will give it to me, right? Right. Like the Lord hears our prayers, and the Bible tells us he hears the moanings of our hearts, right? So like, he knows what's true, and when we are connected to him, we want to live in his will, and he will help us, give us those desires of our heart. Maybe not in the way that we think we're gonna get there. Sometimes it's a little bit of a zigzag, right? But if we are committed to that and obedient to him, trust in the Lord, and he will act. I just feel like that's just the only way that I want to live my life anymore. I've done it my way, and it doesn't work out very well, I'll tell you right now. But I want to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him.
Yeah. And that can be very difficult to do sometimes, is to wait in obedience when, you know, things are, you need resolution, or you feel like you might need resolution. But in prepping for this episode, you know, biblical obedience to God means to hear, trust, submit, and surrender to God and his work and his word. And, you know, as we were saying earlier, obedience is a choice. So God doesn't force us to obey. Mm-hmm. As much as we like to think, just the act of like hearing or reading the word would be enough, we must actually do what the word says. We have to take action and practice mm-hmm. the things that we've learned. And I did say this in our peace episode, because, you know, we have to be not just hearers, but doers of the word, because that is what Jesus did. That is what we got an example from Jesus. And then we're told that the God of peace will be with us. So subjection to the word isn't enough. It has to lead us to transformation and obedience. That's when we know that relationship is really taking root, that we're having that fruit, is when we have that transformation of obedience. It's not just like I better listen to God or he's going to punish me. It's right. More of that choice because we love him, which I'm going to get more into, but you know, the Bible teaches us why obedience really is so important and needed for our walk with God. And the Bible also teaches us what happens when we obey man and not the Lord. So we're to be obedient and ready for good work. And we can see all throughout the Bible, all the times that, you know, they listened to man and how well that worked out for them. That leads me into John 8:42-44. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Mic drop. Whoa.
Oh, I mean, that was crazy, because speaks so deeply to my heart, right? Because sometimes two different people can be praying about one thing and be like, well, I think God is telling me this. And you're like, well, I think God is telling me this. And you might have difference of opinions, and you're both in the same situation. But the key is are we seeking for his glory or for the glory of the flesh? And I think that's a big differentiator in that. I mean, that was such a perfect scripture, Allie.
Well, it gives me reason to want to be obedient to Jesus, because I do not want to be, you know, obedient to the devil. Definitely not. So I don't want to be a liar, or the things that he speaks out of his character. It's kind of like that fear of the Lord when you see that mm-hmm. scripture, because Jesus right there is separating true followers by their actions. He's saying your true father is the one you obey and imitate and copy.
If you're
lying, if you're doing all these things, how can you say you're of God? You know, that's why obedience is so important. And then people that are far from Christ, they're watching you. They're watching what we're doing. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus or this or that when your life is going right. But a lot of those people that have a chip on their shoulder, don't want to come to the Lord for whatever reason, you know, they're watching when somebody is hurting and they're still being obedient to the Lord. And they go, why? How are they doing that? How is that possible? And it's the work of God. And so that also helps me stay obedient, because I never want somebody to stumble or trip because of me and what they're watching me do. It's not just enough of what I say. It has to be what I do, because mm-hmm. those that are far from Christ are watching what we do and not what we say.
It's so true. It's a lot of responsibility, but it's so true, because at the end of the day, our job, we are called to be fishers of men. And if we are not living in a Christ-like fashion, how are we going to be fishers of men? So that's a really good point that I hadn't even considered, which is why it's so cool to do this podcast, because we get to just be talking about Jesus and the Bible and scripture and all the good things.
It's that fellowship. That this is why fellowship is so important. We can have our personal relationship, which is great, and we should definitely do that. But having this is like, we just continue to build on our, because there's ways that you look at things that I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way, and vice yeah. versa. And it's just iron sharpening iron. It's the Bible unfolding and that confirmation that this is the word of God is true.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, you know, iron sharpens iron. We are locked in step, my friend. We are locked in step. I was going to read another scripture that kind of just, it reminded me of something similar, like a similar undertone as the scripture you just read. And this is from James. It's chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And for me, that was just about like, if we need to be obedient by drawing closer to God, and he will draw near you. The closer we are to God, the easier it is to be obedient, right? Because you don't want to upset your best friend. Like, you never want to just like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to call my best friend up and be mean and upset them today. But like, when Jesus is your best friend, and when you are drawing close to God, it's so much easier to be obedient. And I also think it's easier to hear what he's calling you to do, right? Because if you're busy and distracted with the world in your life and you're not connecting to God, it's going to be a lot harder to know how you're supposed to be obedient. But, I just, and keeping in mind that the enemy is always trying to mix those messages up. So the enemy will try to disguise himself as the Lord anytime he can to send you a message to divert you from the truth of what the Lord is trying to get to us. And so it's so important that we are near God in order to be obedient in a way that just serves him and him only.
Oh, absolutely. Because we can go back to what are some of our greatest commands is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So obedience to him can be just simply, you know, honoring, praising him, you know, for the blessings. And, you know, it may seem simple, but how often are we really doing that? Are we praying without ceasing and honoring and glorifying God? Because like you said, the enemy loves to get in there and make us busy, make us forget.
Oh, yeah.
So that we don't do those things. And then we have those commands. I feel like this is one way that the devil loves to get us out of disobedience. The other commandment that I think we all struggle with is love your neighbor as yourself. And we like to say that we do that, but you know, when somebody does us wrong, we get all offended. We get, but when we do somebody else wrong, we want that grace. We want, oh, I'm so sorry. I was having a bad day. Oh, forgive me. But we don't like to offer that or to take it even a step further. Jesus told us it's easy to love your Jesus sisters. It's easy to love those. But what about your enemies? Are you loving your enemies? And that's really the true test of obedience, because that is one of his greatest commandments, is loving your neighbors as you love yourself. And it's very hard to love an enemy the way that, and you can, I feel like you can really only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and like through the Lord strengthening you and making that choice to forgive and also to be obedient to forgiving, because we know that God says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So it's a twofold thing. We have to give it in order to, you know, want to receive that. We don't want to have seeds of unforgiveness, but I feel like that really is being obedient. And that is a huge work of God, because it's so easy to be upset with your enemies, because usually your enemies are hurting you.
I love how this this episode is taking shape, in that we both have totally different perspectives on the topic of obedience, but it's so good. Like, you're like, I love that you're really focusing in on like what the Bible says we are called to do in order to in being obedient as Christians. And when I think of obedience, I think of like, what is it that God is just like poking me? Like, Laurel, are you listening? What am I like? I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, and being obedient like that. And I think it's so cool, because I hadn't even thought about all those things. Like, I mean, I know we're called to love our enemies and love your neighbor as yourself, all those things. But that's just a really good reminder for me that, there's just so many things that the Bible says about being obedient. It's not just obeying his commands that he gives and his promptings. Sorry, I said that wrong. It's not just obeying his prompting. It's obeying his commands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and I think true Christian obedience does flow from your heart. And it's that heart of gratitude and grace that we've received from Jesus Christ. And that's that really, I think, brings about that kind of obedience that you said that you're living a life of obedience. And I don't think it's because I'm scared I'm going to get in trouble. It's because of the love that you have for the Lord.
Oh yeah. I don't want to do it any other way. I've done it my own way for way too long. And let me tell you, it's not that fabulous. I'm going to tell you, but I just want to be obedient to whatever the Lord tells me, anything, whatever it is. I want to be
well, and there's so many blessings that we receive from, you know, God says and teaches us that he blesses and rewards obedience. And he also says obedience is better than sacrifice. So we know that through obedience, we can experience the blessings of the Holy Spirit too. It's like God is a holy God. And I think this is where we like to forget that he is such a holy God, because we can be sinners. And when we really put that into perspective, it's kind of scary, because sin separates us from God, because he just, in heaven, there is no sin. There is, we are obedient in heaven, and that's what he calls us to be. He calls us to be holy, to be clean. And so in order to be holy and clean, we have to be obedient. And it's not always going to be the easy choice to make. A lot of times being obedient is dying to your flesh.
Well, that's the truth. So, and that's hard for a lot of people.
Well, it's hard for us all. I mean, if we're really being honest, we all struggle with things, and and Satan knows how to throw those fiery darts to tempt us and to get us off track, because then we're not living in obedience and in his purpose and will. James 1:21-25 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, This man will be blessed in what he does.
I love it.
So it's like James is encouraging us to repent and do away with the sin in our lives and to receive it in humility. I think that's also a key word because, you know, it's saying the word, receive the word in humility because it is able to save our souls. Like mm-hmm. that is huge. So it's good to listen, but important to obey. And, you know, I started asking myself, like, has my obedience grown since having a personal relationship with God? And that's how we know that we have effectiveness, is if your obedience is showing. That that's how you know that the word is being planted in there and that you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you might have walked one way before and now you walk in a completely different way. And in God's law, also in James, it shows us that we are sinners in need of a savior and forgiveness. And God's grace and salvation does break the chain of sins in our lives. We are now free to obey God. So that the laws point out to us how we are sinners in need, because we cannot. You know, it's very hard for us to follow these laws. Like if we're going to follow, you know, it's like we have to follow them all and pretty much be perfect. And we know in the Bible that nobody is perfect, but Jesus.
Yeah. And that's the truth. Even though they sometimes look like they're perfect, they definitely not perfect, girl. I totally hear you on that. I was going to maybe change it, mix it up just a little bit. I was just thinking about examples of obedience. And I know that this example does not paint the full picture, but this is from Exodus and it's talking about the story of Moses. When Moses is, you know, God is preparing Moses to take his people from Egypt and take them on their journey. They're 40 years into the desert. I don't know that they were supposed to be there for 40 years. I don't know. We'll have to ask God that one day. But where he was going to remove them from Egypt and out of the control of the Pharaoh. But I just thought that this little story or this part of the scripture was interesting because some might just read it as just like God asking him to do a bunch of things. To me, it was like a constant, continual constant acts of obedience over and over and over that Moses was listening to the Lord. So this is chapter 4, verses 1-7. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" And the Lord said to him, "What is it in you? What is that in your hand?" Wait, hold on. I can't see my scripture all the way. Okay. Sorry, it got cut off a lot. So what is that in your hand? He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and he caught it, and the staff, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe in the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put it back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? What makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, and his mouth will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people. He shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take your hand into and take in your hand this staff, which you shall do the signs. And I know that was a lot of scripture, but I just thought that it's so cool. Like over and over, God is like, be obedient, and he does it. And then he's like, no, but I don't want to. Okay, I'll do it. But no, but I don't want to. Okay, I'll do it. And you know, like, you know, God's telling him over and over. As soon as he turned it into snake, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out. Like, you know, but he's like, no, I'm going to snatch it up by the table, a tail. I'm going to listen to God. And you know how he's just constantly trying to get out of whatever God's telling him. He's basically telling him, you're going to, you know, lead these people. And he's like, yeah, no, I think you got the wrong guy. And God's like, nope, I got the right guy. And I don't know. This just really spoke to me about being obedient in my life.
Well, and we also, you know, the 40 years in the wilderness from not, you know, not listening that God, you know, not believing in God's promises, you know, held back the, what was it, like 40 years or something like that?
So, yeah, it was 40 years. I said the desert, but the wilderness, that makes more sense.
but what I loved about that is we talked about earlier how obedience does bring blessings and rewards. And we can see there that the obedience did lead to God's glory.
Yes.
We were able to see God glorified in that. And we also can see that, you know, obedience to God cannot be compromised, and that obedience opens doors, because look at what happened from that obedience. It's like, that is a promise right there. When we look at it that way, it's like, look at what God was doing. God can do so much just through our obedience. So, I love that whole, I was glad that you actually spoke about Exodus, because I was like, that's such a big deal to do with obedience. Yeah. 2 John 1:6-11, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. And I'm like, whew, again, that's saying, you know, be obedient to God. Like, we cannot put obedience to man in front of obedience to God. And it's also saying that there is a full reward is promised to those who fully commit themselves and are obedient. I want that full reward. I'm not going to lie. That is, yeah. You know, I want that full reward. And so it's like, I don't want to live for myself and forfeit my full reward. So, and it's just also saying, like, do not welcome anyone who is, you know, a false prophet or not false, but is not preaching the true gospel. And like, if you are okay with that and you welcome that in, it's like, then you're almost a part of it. You're condoning that. And he's saying, do not condone that. It's almost saying, like, stand up and be counted. Like, where's your loyalty? Are you going to be obedient and be loyal to me? Or are you going to not want to ruffle feathers and say, like, hey, mm-mm. So, and that leads me into Romans 5:19. For just as though the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So it's just showing how what sin can do, but then what obedience can do. And it's like, I want to be made righteous. So we're getting all these blessings and promises from being obedient. And then, speaking of Moses, we had Abraham, who was obedient and God made him a father of many nations, but he definitely waited in obedience for that promise. And I think sometimes that's where being obedient can be difficult, is when we know God has spoken, we know God has a plan for our life. We know that he's spoken these promises, but we're in that waiting season. And so it can be very hard to be obedient when you are in that waiting season. And so, you know, staying grounded in the word, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, all those things are going to help us be obedient.
I love that. I was thinking about Galatians 1:10. It says, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And so just going back, I feel like obviously we have the same theme that we're looking for here, but so many of these scriptures, like one after another, it's like seeking God, right? And when you're seeking Jesus Christ, you're going to be deterred from the enemy, from, you know, just struggles. Just please God and focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Kind of piggybacking off of that, Acts 5:28-32, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, who you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as a leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Acts 5:28-32. So we can see, we get the Holy Spirit when we're obedient.
Mm.
And it's like, we must obey, again, God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, who, you know, you killed by hanging him on a tree. It's like, that is pretty powerful stuff right there.
I love it. Well, anytime we can avoid heartache, right? I mean, don't we always just want to, you know, I mean, I think our human nature is to just take the easy road, right? To avoid pain and suffering. I feel like when we're obedient, God removes, I'm not saying it's easy. Don't hear that, because that's not what I'm trying to say. But I feel like when you're being obedient, you know, you're acting in a way that God has called you to act. So it just makes it a lot easier if there are uncomfortable situations, because God will carry you through that because you are being obedient. It's not that I want to say it makes it easier, but that doesn't mean that it will be easy.
Well, you just line that up perfectly for my next scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:3-8. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of my using my authority.
Mm, that's really good. Ooh. So I've ever heard that scripture before. I got to read Corinthians.
Oh, Corinthians is so good. So we know that we have God's weapons of power. We have the Holy Spirit to be effective and obedient. We have love, prayer, faith. So we just must continue to stay submitted to God. But then I also like this, because it's saying part of our obedience to the faith is witnessing. God gives each of us a calling to be an example of the transformed life that Christ does bring to us.
Hmm. I love that, Allie. Such good scripture. Well, I only have one scripture left, and I want to give you how many scriptures do you have left that you want to share with us?
I think I have two.
Okay. All right. You do one more and we'll each do our last one.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like we've had so much good stuff today.
Yes.
Can't say okay, it better than the Bible.
Hey. Okay. Romans 1:5-7. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you are also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I have one more. So I don't know if you want me to read that. And
yeah,
then
go for it.
Okay. So this one was kind of my favorite one of all of them, because I just love, I love Jesus so much. And just the example that he is profound. John 14:28-31. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much to you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let's go up from here. And this is some really powerful, mind-blowing stuff here. Jesus is saying a lot, but we can see in his expression how much he honors the Father. Yes. He makes it a point to say he does as the Father commands him, so that the world may know that Jesus loves the Father. He obeys because he loves. And what did the Father command Jesus to do? For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. For our sake he made to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this is why we obey. Yes. We are sinners in need of a savior, and our flesh desires money, lust, the things that kill us. But God wants to come into our hearts to clean us, so that these things that trick us don't steal our souls. Sin is tempting, but all sin leads to death. We need God to transform us to obedience, to help us walk in his will, to not be just hearers, but doers, to show those who are far from Christ. In this world, you may have trouble, but when you have Jesus, you are an overcomer. You have peace that surpasses understanding. You can have strength when everything appears to be going wrong, and obedience through the love we have for Jesus, because we know him and who he is and what he has done and what he is going to do.
I love all of it so much, because it's the ultimate act of obedience, right? Mm-hmm. Like the ultimate act, to know that you are going to have to sacrifice your life and be obedient to your Father. And Jesus had to be obedient to his Father. I have one last scripture. I'm going to go through that and share my Jesus jam. My last one is just one that I live on all the time. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And I just want to live on that. I just want to trust in the Lord and be obedient with all my heart and all my heart. And my Jesus jam, I'm going to be quick here, is called He Lives. It's the version Church of the City with Chris McClarney, I think it is. And it is just such a good, good song. I encourage you to blast it.
Mine is I Give Myself Away by Chris McDowell.
I love that song. I mean, I was blasting that this week.
I'm like, yes, here I am, Lord.
Take me.